Today's reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 31. And it's on page 1014 of the Bibles. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 31. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at these words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We've left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children, or fields for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning. Please keep your Bibles open at those words on page 1014. And there is a sheet if you would like to fill it in. If you haven't got a pen and would like one, could you just wave a hand and one will be brought to you. I didn't realise until last few weeks preparing this talk just how long it takes to put these sheets together. So I do find your... do hope you'll find them helpful, and filling in might help you to remember some of the key points. So this is what we're thinking about today. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And there's some hard sayings of Jesus in the Bible. There's some lovely, warm and comforting ones as well, but some of them are quite hard, and we're going to look at one of them today. And so let's pray before we do that, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll give us the grace and humility to listen to your word, to listen to the words of Jesus this morning, and to be prepared to accept them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever had your understanding of something completely turned upside down. We went to a play a few weeks ago, and there was an amazing twist at the end. It almost blew your mind away to the extent that you think, what? That means that everything we've been watching and listening to for the last 2 hours wasn't what we thought it was. It was completely turned upside down. And you know, Jesus did that in a lot of what he had to say. In our talk today, Jesus turns money and goodness upside down. A bit like this, really. The people who heard what he got to say said, what? That means that everything that I've ever known or I've ever understood, it's not what I thought it was. Well, just to remind you of the talk, let's put it back the right way around, shall we? Now, I'm going to do something a little bit like that in the sense that I'm going to take the second part of our reading first and then come back to our first one to put that all into context. Some hard sayings of Jesus. You know, several times in the Bible we read that the disciples said to Jesus, Master, this is a hard saying. They found it hard. Jesus' listeners, as well as the disciples, sometimes found it hard. Jesus challenges us today about money, and he also challenges us to think about what it means to be morally good. Now, Jesus tells us something new about wealth. He tells us something new about moral goodness. Now, what he says offended some people, and maybe you will feel a little offended this morning. People sometimes got angry with the things that he said. Now, our first principle is about the danger of wealth, the danger of riches. Have a look at verse 25. Cast your mind back to what Chris did with the youngsters earlier, when Jesus said in verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, there's that wonderful illustration, and it was brought to life for us earlier this morning, trying to thread something through a needle that just wouldn't go. Now, some of you who've heard about this account of Jesus might have heard it said, well, what Jesus was really referring to was a city gate that was very small. It was sometimes called the needle gate, and a camel just couldn't get through it, and it was very difficult, but wasn't impossible, but just very difficult. Or sometimes you might have heard that the word camel refers in Greek to a type of rope that's quite thick. And it's very, very difficult to get that through the eye of a needle. Very difficult, but not impossible. Please, can I ask you to put those things away? Forget about them, says he, just having reminded you of them. Forget about those things. The reason is that if we think of those terms, it takes away the weight, the real importance of what Jesus had to say. Jesus was actually giving an example that was impossible. So on the sheet, Jesus gave an impossible example to make his point. Why is it impossible? Why is it impossible for a rich man, a rich person, to enter the kingdom of God? Well, because money is such an entangling idol, It can just get us in its grips, to the extent that we find we can't escape. It promises us so much, but it demands more and more. And in the end, we don't realize it, but we find ourselves worshipping money. This is why Jesus warns us so many times about greed. So money is subtle and deadly. Subtle and deadly. One of the reasons is that as a person, if you have plenty of money, and I would guess that many of us in this room, if we own our own properties, will be in the top 1%. Remember those figures that Chris said? We're in the top 1% of people in the world. We often feel self-reliant. We think, well, it's okay. If there are any problems, we can sort that out with money. We can maybe sell this. We can buy this. We're okay. And we can manage. And sometimes we feel that and sometimes forget that what we need to do is to put our trust in God. God is the one who we need to rely on. So the disciples heard this and they were absolutely gobsmacked, because this turned upside down everything that they'd been led to believe up until that point. In those times, in Bible times, in Judaism, if you had lots of money, that was a sign of God's great blessing on you. God favoured you. He favoured you with riches. And if you didn't have money, well, that meant you weren't doing something right. You were doing something wrong, in fact. And because of that, God was punishing you and not giving you great riches. Now, listen to the words of this song.
So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good.
Somewhere in my youth and childhood, I must have done something good. Something I did has brought me something wonderful. It's because of what I did that I'm getting this wonderful thing. That's the point. It's not about what we do. Some of you may know the story of Job in the Old Testament. Dreadful, dreadful things happened to him. Three men came to talk and pray with him and to tell him what they thought the problem was, Job's comforters. And they sort of twisted these words around like this. And so it became, somewhere in your youth and childhood, you must have done something bad. Now, there are two ways in which the world looks at wealth. If you're rich, the world says, well, that's because you're hardworking, because you're diligent. Or the world might say this: if you're rich, it's because you've taken the wealth away from others, so you're an oppressor. But you know, neither of those things really are biblical. Because wealth can come and go. You all know stories of people who had lots, who had great wealth, and then suddenly lost it. Sometimes people we know who are homeless on the streets. If you've helped in the night shelter in Kingston, sometimes you encounter people who seem to have everything, and then suddenly they lost it and became homeless. So wealth can come and go. It might be through matters outside your control. But the point for what the Bible is telling us here is that wealth is a more spiritually dangerous position to be in than poverty. It's more spiritually dangerous. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not meaning that it's good to be poor. There are also spiritual dangers associated with being poor. Sometimes people can turn to crime as a result. But what Jesus is saying is there are great spiritual dangers attached to money as a whole. So look back in the reading to verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we know from Matthew's gospel that this man was rich, that he was young, and that he was a ruler. And we'll come back to that point in just a moment. So he recognizes that money isn't the answer. Well, that's a good start. And do you notice he kneels before Jesus? This is going all right so far, isn't it? So far, so good. But as I put on the sheet, he asks the wrong question. He expects Jesus to talk to him about theology. He said, "Lord, what am I missing? There's something missing. I need to do something. What is it? Please tell me." He's not sure. And a lot of people are not sure today. He expects Jesus to talk theology to him, but instead Jesus gets right to the heart of his problem. And that problem is in his heart. He challenges the man to think about good, about God. But goodness isn't mentioned by works, measured by works. It's by what you do. But you notice he called Jesus good teacher. Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God. Because what you need to remember is that that man, he didn't recognize who Jesus was. He just thought he was a teacher. He called him a good teacher. Jesus was challenging him to think about goodness and about God. And though he didn't realize it, when he called Jesus a good teacher, he was actually calling him God. And so for us, we can't just say that Jesus is he's a noble, a wise, a good teacher. We can't just say that, because Jesus himself says that he is the Son of God, that he is God himself. But notice also that Jesus challenges the man about the Ten Commandments, except he doesn't mention all of them, does he? He just mentions some of them. He doesn't mention the first one, which is, I am the Lord your God, and I want you to worship me and no one else. Why doesn't he mention that one? Well, what he's trying to do there is he wants to expose the fact that the man has an idol that he worships, and that idol is money. And so we see what his problem is on the sheet. The problem is his attitude to money. He's got an attitude problem, this man. And that problem is in his heart. Sin is idolatry. And that's worshipping another god. And that god could be money. So what does Jesus do here? Jesus exposes the barrier that's keeping the man out of the kingdom of God. He exposes the barrier that's keeping the man out of the kingdom of God. In verse 21, we read that Jesus looked on him and loved him. What about this arrogant man, who we know is a ruler, so he should know better? He's saying, I've kept all these commandments. Really? Has he really kept all of them? He's all full of himself, isn't he? He should have known better. But despite all of that, Jesus loved him. Isn't that great? When we're arrogant, when we think we know best, we know that Jesus still loves us. He looks on us with love. So there's hope. There's hope for us because of that love. You notice that Jesus talks to the man about giving away everything that he has. We need to bear in mind that that doesn't necessarily mean to say that we've got to give away everything that we have. Jesus was speaking personally to this one man to address the problem in this man's heart. Some of you may remember the story of Zacchaeus. We don't have time to go into that now, but Jesus didn't say to Zacchaeus, give away everything that you have. He said, give away half of what you have, and then come and follow me. That was the specific for Zacchaeus. Nicodemus came to see Jesus at night. Nicodemus, we know, was a very rich man. Jesus didn't mention riches to him once. Jesus speaks to each of us as individuals and challenges what's in our own hearts. Jesus exposed the barrier that was keeping him out of the kingdom of God. He didn't say to the man, it is written, you must give everything away. It says it in the law. No, Jesus doesn't say that. He speaks specifically to that man. And we need to hear what Jesus is saying to each of us individually in our own hearts. This is why Jesus so often offends, because he gets right to the heart of the problem. And sometimes we're unwilling to admit to the problem that we have. Now I'm going to go back even further for the next song. See if you remember this one.
Money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil.
No, it's not. What is it? It's the love of money is the root of all evil. So on the second side of the handout, love, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, sin in our lives leads our hearts to create idols. Now, you might be wondering, well, I don't think that applies to me. Or some of you may be thinking, Yeah, I think that does apply to me. So what are the signs? What can we look out for? Or do you find yourself envying people who have more than you? I wouldn't mind that. That would be good. Do you do that? Do you do that a lot? Do you worry about money? Well, probably all of us do from time to time. But do you worry about it all the time? Do you excessively worry about money? Do you tend to relate to people according to how much money they have? Here's another sort of a test, and I'm going to qualify this in just a minute. But in the Old Testament, it was about tithing, giving away 10% of what you have for the benefit of others. 10%? What would that be for you, I wonder? Does that utterly appall you? If it completely appalls you, then maybe money has more control over you than is good. Now, the New Testament doesn't tell us to tithe, but what it does do is encourages us to be generous. And that might mean more than 10%. Now, if you're thinking, well, this is a bit unfair on people who are really poor, isn't it? Here's a report from The Guardian. Let me read to you the second paragraph. A study published today finds that the least well-off give a higher proportion of their income to charity, no matter what their age, class, or beliefs. I wonder if you've ever seen that. I've seen that at first hand, and some of you may have done as well. Collecting for Christian Aid. A number of times I've been up to a house when there's been two smart cars parked in the drive. You explain that you're coming to invite people to give to Christian Aid. No, thank you. Go next door to the house that's run down. An elderly lady comes slowly to the door. Oh, yes, I've got the what all ready for you here. Hands you an envelope, and you know there's a note inside that. I've seen that time and time again. People who are less well off are more generous. So this is not really being unfair to the poor. Jesus once watched a poor widow put two coins into the offering at the temple. Everything that she had, he said, that woman has given away more than all that the rich people had given. It's all about what you have left behind after you've given. So Jesus loved the man. Look at verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. So he challenges this young man. He says, give away your money and follow me. He wants him to see that if he has Jesus, he'll have everything he needs. He needs an attitude adjustment towards his wealth. But note that Jesus calls a man to follow him. Jesus doesn't ask us to give up idols simply because he wants us to give up idols. He wants us to give up idols in order to follow him. He wants us to give up our idols in order to follow him. Here's an anonymous quote. Look at these words. I never really earned it. I used to think I earned it until it was gone. Then I began to study the scripture and I began to realize the only reason I earned it was because God put me in a position to earn it. Gave me the talents to earn it. Gave me the IQ to earn it. It was a gift all along. Verse 26. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, well, who then? Who then can be saved? They were amazed. Now this young man, surely he's an excellent convert. Lord, look, there's only 12 of us. We're a tiny little church. We need everyone we can get. Look at this young man here. He's rich. He can help us. He can help to pay for some of the things that we need. He's very moral. He's kept all these commandments. Surely he's an ideal candidate, isn't he, Lord? I wonder what you would think if somebody joined our church, who we knew was rich and was very moral and upright, faithful, paid taxes, never exceeded the speed limit. That would be a good person to have, wouldn't it, in our church? Well, yes, it would. Anyone is a good person to have in our church. But sometimes we think along those sort of lines. Jesus turns this upside down. Look at verse 31, where Jesus says, "The first will be last, and the last first." What he's saying to this man is that morality and goodness are just not enough. They're not bad things, but they're not enough. He's saying to the man, you don't understand the dangers of goodness. It's as if Jesus would rather lose a follower than to lower the standard for him. However, there's no other possible standard. So on the sheet, God can free us from the idol of money. God can free us from the idol of money. Well, if money is such a dangerous idol that it's impossible for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God, well, the question is, how can anyone with money enter? Well, the answer is in verse 27 when Jesus says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." It may be impossible for us, but not for God. With God, all things are possible. Now, this young man is thinking, there's something missing. There's something missing. It's a bit like a jigsaw. I can't see the way ahead because there's a piece missing. I've just got to add something. What is that last thing, Lord? What is it? Tell me what that last thing is I can add. Then I can see the way ahead. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus, doesn't add. It doesn't add. This is what it does. It starts all over again. It's not like just adding a missing piece. It's not a matter of addition. It's what the gospel does. The gospel doesn't add. It starts all over again. Many years ago, I was teaching an adult to play the piano. And he had so many bad habits, from the point of view of playing the piano, you understand, that the only way I could make any progress was by going back, really, almost right back to first principles, to start all over again. It wasn't possible to add anything. He wanted to be able to play pieces that were really way beyond him, and he wanted to be able to play, but he couldn't get there because I needed to start all over again. Now, I wonder if this question of starting all over again has happened to you. Have you been prepared to start all over again, to accept Jesus and to make that change, that repentance Jesus calls us to make? Are you offended by this? A lot of people are offended by this. But this young man, he went away sorrowful. Are you going away sorrowful because you're not prepared to give up anything for Jesus? Jesus is saying a complete change is necessary. Now, look back in our reading to verse 14. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." What a contrast! An example of faith and trust. Children do nothing to gain eternal life. They receive it because of their simple faith. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. To receive, not to do, but to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. So because the kingdom is received like a child, it can't be earned. That rich man, he wanted to earn it. He needed to receive it like a child. So little children are examples of trust and faith. This young man thought he could gain eternal life by what he did, but he found he could not. He went away sad. How tragic. How tragic was that? He was so possessed by his possessions that he missed the opportunity to be with Jesus. He's saying, no, I'd rather have my wealth, I'd rather have my comfort, my ease, my prominence. I'd rather have the temporary pleasures of this created world than have you, Jesus. I'd rather walk away. That's the struggle of sin. The sacrifices will be different for different people. You may have too little, or you may have too much. But are you willing to give it all up in order to have eternal life? Don't let your possessions get in the way of gaining the joy, the wonderful joy of eternal life through Jesus. Don't turn away from that joy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know how much we like our money. You know how hard we often find it to be generous. Lord, help us make sure we don't let our possessions get in the way of gaining the joy of eternal life with you. Help us to look out for each other and to be generous with what you have given us. Help us to know what it is to trust you like little children, whatever our age or circumstances. Amen.